Ladies and gentlemen, last August he brought you the first of the Christmas shows.
On Mother's Day 1975, he gave you the Larry Grayson story.
On President Armin's birthday, he tried to eat Charlie Williams.
He's not fit to be out.
He's a nutter.
He must have his poor mother's heart broke.
I like him. He makes me look normal.
He's done it again. It's February, the heart of winter, and the fool is proud to present his Easter spectacular. And he keeps telling everybody he's the star of the show. Eddie Braben.
Thank you. Welcome to our Easter spectacular. I'm sure our clock's fast. Easter, the birds singing, the grass greener, mother care taking on extra staff. And forget those night storage heaters. We had three of them. Could hardly move in that bed. Easter, no need for anyone to worry. The spring's here. No need for anyone to worry except the politicians. Harold's very worried. But he is seeking advice. Every night before he goes to sleep, he kneels at the side of the bed, joins his hands together, bows his head and closes his eyes and says, "Can I have a word with you, Dad?" Well, there's lots of interesting items for you in this special Easter show. We shall be talking to the gardener who does Margaret Thatcher's hair. And that fellow with his emu, Rod McEwen. We should be hearing from a Swedish vet about his revolutionary breakthrough, pregnancy testing for rocking horses. It's a fantastic sight to see all the rocking horses queuing up outside his clinic every morning, clutching their bottles of sawdust. The look of dismay on their faces when the vet says, "Positive, you are expecting a knothole." Now, a special Easter attraction as we welcome the man with the most amazing memory in the world, Professor Mesmick. Good morning.
Good evening.
Professor Mesmick, in order to prove that there's absolutely no possibility of cheating during this next experiment, would you place this blindfold securely inside your left sock?
Certainly. I now have the blindfold securely tucked inside my left sock.
Good. Can you tell the ladies and gentlemen what it is I'm holding in my right hand?
You dirty devil, how dare you?
Correct, Professor? It is indeed a full frontal photograph of Champion the Wonder Horse.
Percy Thrower should have been with us, but he's still upset since he was thrown out of the BBC television centre last week. He accidentally went into the wrong studio and tried to run his beans up Twiggy.
Alison Steadman on the rise to power of Margaret Thatcher.
One appearance on Wheel Tappers and Shunters, and there she is, leader of the opposition.
And to show once for all that there's no bad feeling, Edward Heath with this tribute to Mrs. Thatcher. So there you are. All this and much more in our Easter spectacular.
Do you want me to sing the Maester Bonnet?
No, just put the skirt on.
Got a good audience tonight.
Oh, and with a great sense of humour. I mean, those two ladies on the front row, one of them said before, "Do you like Lulu?" The other lady said, "I feel sorry for that poor girl. Fancy being named after two toilets." There's something puzzling me.
What's that?
Well, at Christmas, you wish people a Merry Christmas.
Right.
New Year, you say Happy New Year.
Right. What's the problem?
Well, what do you say at Easter?
I have no idea.
Hang on. Shakespeare. Now, Shakespeare, he wrote about Easter, "Hey, nonny, nonny, no." A happy hey, nonny, nonny, no, Bill.
Yes. A happy nay, nonny, nonny, no, Eddie.
A happy hey, nonny, nonny, no, David.
Yes. A happy hey, nonny, nonny, no, Eddie.
A happy hey, nonny, nonny, no, Eli.
You stupid Beck.
Thank you. There will now be a short interlude.
2.5 inches.
That's short enough. Because I'd like you to meet now Dr. Kingsley Bum, man of medicine, philosopher, sociologist, and a pickled gherkin sniffer. Dr. Bum.
Why don't I qualify for the widow's pension?
Perhaps it's the beard. The doctor is now going to give an educational sex talk to the over 95s.
Forget it.
But let us not forget that it is Easter.
Hey, I went on that mastermind, you know, with that little magus. I passed on 4,568 questions.
Not now, Eli.
I'm a Time Lord, you know.
Will you go away? Carry on, David.
Overseas visitors in their thousands visit our land to see our stately homes and watch some of our great traditional ceremonies. Ceremonies like this one.
And we welcome you on this glorious afternoon to the famous passing out parade here at the Royal Academy for Female Impersonators. It's quite remarkable when one thinks that just 12 short weeks ago, these 250 young men entered this academy as normal young chaps. And after a great deal of hard work, they are now fully-fledged Nancy lads. They really do look most impressive with their right arms swinging in unison and their left hands planted firmly on their hips. How smart they all look with their Cuban-heeled army boots and the sun glinting on their sequin-covered gaiters over sheer 40 denier black nylons. And now all eyes turn as the figure we've all been waiting for walks onto the parade ground, the NCO, the Nancy's commanding officer, flanked, as always, by two policemen. He should be taking over the passing out parade any second now.
Parade! Stop walking! Funny! Parade! Wait for it, loves. Parade! Remove left hands from hips. Oh. Smashing. Parade! Slow! Handbags. Well done, Pet. Parade from the right. Number
2, 4, 6, 8. Lower the flag, it's 8:30. Hand on heart, we'll be true to the one and only Dan in the room. Whoops.
Oh, Bob. I can't take my exams with me nose all stuffed up like this.
Of course you can, Malcolm. Try this.
Malcolm lost his BA and one or two other bits and pieces as well.
This Easter, why not visit one of our stately homes with their gentle harmony of dignity, grace and beauty? Sweet-scented rose gardens, lush green lawns and flush toilets. Our heritage.
Stop beyond the brink. The hall suffered much damage at the hands of the Roundheads in 1644 and was reconstructed in 1688 by Wimpies. The stateroom contains murals, paintings, fine furnishings, and the relics of Clive of India, which hang from the rafters just out of reach of the dog.
The visitor to Worcester will be interested to learn that at the age of 10, Edward Elgar was discovered sitting on the riverbank with a pencil and a sheet of manuscript in his hand. He said he was trying to write down what the reeds and rushes were saying. He was taken away in a van.
While staying with some friends, Elgar took out an envelope and scribbled down some music. This will make them pay heed to me as a composer, he said. Then he crossed to the piano, played 2 bars of Roll Me Over, and got slung out.
Felton nicks the oak. It was here in 1245 that Sir Geoffrey de Banger invented the sausage. Overjoyed, he rushed back to the lodge, immersed it in hot fat, then speared it on the end of a fork. Before collapsing, his fiancée managed to say to her mother, try and flog the wedding gear.
One can also visit the Old Bull Inn, so named because of the unusual taste of the draft bitter.
Yeah, I'm going to have a go at one of these. I mean, after all, I am a time lord, aren't I? Grab it by the well. Home of Sir Willie Ellis-like. A knight of the round table, he never once took his armour off. He had a beautiful wife and four tins of pilchards. I'm not kidding. I've done some rubbish in my time, you know.
I was going to do one of those, but it changed my mind. Thank you. Now, if you're visiting a wildlife safari park this Easter, don't take any foolish chances. Make certain that your wife is strapped securely to the bonnet of the car.
Hey, I won the final of Mastermind, you know.
Well, there was never any doubt.
Oh, you know that fellow who asked all of the questions?
I know who you mean, but I can never remember his name.
Miguel Magus. He gave me this cut glass bowl.
Let's have a look.
Oh, I've got to start all over again now.
Well, let's start now then.
Could we have our first contender, please? And your name?
Eli.
Surname?
Yes.
Occupation?
I'm a flea trapper.
A flea trapper? Now, that's an unusual occupation.
Well, it's a case of having to.
Your first question on general knowledge. Now, what did Nat Lofthouse say to Stanley Matthews 3 minutes before half-time during the England-Scotland international match at Wembley Stadium in 1949?
Pass.
Correct. And here to present you with your cut glass bowl is the program controller in chief.
Listen, son. Yeah. No, listen a minute. This is absolutely brilliant, them answers what he gives. You'll have to excuse me. I've stopped a few barrels from going sour tonight. No, brilliant they were, and it gives me great pleasure now, son, to hand you this glass bowl because I've never. Oh, God, you're going to have to start all over again now.
No chance. I've done some rubbish in my time. How will you get away with this? I don't know.
People visiting our country at Easter see it at its glorious best, and who can blame them for wanting to become British citizens? At this very moment, in a small room at the Home Office, a certain person is applying to become a British citizen.
Come in. What can I do for you?
Are you the fella what we have to say if we want to be British?
Yes. And you're Mrs.
Chirpin. Googie Conceptor Chirpin.
I have your letter of application in front of me, so you wish to become a British citizen.
I am British. I was born in Weybridge.
Oh, I should have recognised the accent.
No, it's me eldest lad here, Precious.
Precious?
Yes, he wants to become a British citizen. Precious, son, say hello to the man.
I couldn't care less about being British.
I'll land you one in a minute. Oh, the trouble I've gone to for you.
Excuse me, why is he sitting cross-legged on the floor?
Well, that's the way his people sit, you see.
His people? What nationality are he, Precious?
I'm a Zulu.
Zulu?
They don't come any more Zulu than him, son.
You're standing on me blowpipe.
Oh, sorry, and you're his mother? Oh, I don't quite understand.
Yes, well, it's a bit complicated, you see, son. It was the Commonwealth Games in 1924. I went into the wrong chalet. Ooh, it was pitch dark and I couldn't see a thing that night.
And that's why I'm a Zulu.
I see.
And I'll tell you something else. If he'd gone into the chalet next door, I would have been a Tongan.
A Tongan?
If she'd gone to Butlins, there would have been no need for all this.
Well, I think I've got the picture now. If you
Precious,
just...
Precious, don't be lighting a fire on the good man's lino.
I'm hungry. I'm roasting my lizard.
God.
There's plenty of lizards in the freezer at home.
Look, if the head of the department comes in and sees him squatting on his haunches wearing a leopard skin, I could be in serious trouble.
I'll take it off.
No, no, no. Now, let's get down to business. What's your occupation?
A warrior chief.
Oh, I see. Warrior chief.
I have special powers.
Not now, son.
It's raining in the office.
Well, if you're a warrior chief, you can do things like that. Oh, you're not having any bother with your oxen, are you kidding?
God love him, he works wonders with oxen.
I don't keep oxen.
Is your old woman possessed by devils?
If she's possessed by the devils, he'll fix her up in no time.
Or bunions.
I had chilblains once. I thought my shoes was full of doorknobs. I couldn't get me garters over my feet, and he shifted them with his chant.
I'm red hot on hernias.
You've done it now, you have. It's the head of the department.
What a mold this frightful jolly noise, what I mean. And during my curry break...
Well, I do apologise, Mr. Rees-Morgan-Jones. This person is applying for British citizenship.
A very dashed topping. What nationality are you coming from, my good fellow?
I'm a Zulu.
Oh, he's half a Zulu. He's more of a Zoo.
You must be returning home at once to your native Felixstowe. I'm not having you doing the Zuluing all over Most Gracious Majesty's good lino.
Put the boot in, Precious.
Oh, Michael Caine didn't knock us all off, you know, kid, eh? I'll do me chant.
Oh, you can chant as much as you like, you stupid man.
All right, then. It's impossible! After that, he's on the ground! It's just impossible!
Now, before I forget, I've been asked by the presenters of the famous children's television programme Blue Peter to thank you all for the wonderful response to their appeal, and they have now reached their target of 286 tonnes of knicker elastic. This now means that 45,000 old folk will each receive a set of rubber dentures. Which means that their mint rock will last longer. Incidentally, the sponsored walk up the left leg of Kenneth McKellar's kilt raised £200. And a slight problem because one old lady forgot to muzzle her dog.
And now for something that should bring pleasure to lovers of good music. Once again, we're proud to present one of the most unique choirs in the world, or any other place. We're honored to present the world-famous Oberkracken Choir. Ready, gentlemen?
Yeah.
Then, after three. One, two, three.
Homicide 5-minute car wash here.
Could I have a word with Dr. Bum?
Yeah, speaking.
Is my lad there, my Precious? Is our Precious with you, Dr. Bum?
No, get him. It's your mother for you.
Are you there, son?
I'm playing out.
You get home here. Have you seen the time? And you've missed play school.
I can't ask that for another 15 minutes.
Listen, you're supposed to be going to the Cubs tonight.
I've resigned from the Cubs.
You get home here and wash your knees. You're going to the Cubs. And you're on parade on Sunday.
No chance.
I've washed your woggle.
I can wash my own woggle if you don't mind. Anyway, I need a new woggle. The one I've got out of my neck. I'm fed up with the Cubs. I'll tell you something else and all. I'm going to leave the Ovaltinis.
Listen, you just get home here and get washed. I've heard your singlet.
What's it been saying?
Don't you talk to your mother like that. Have you got no disrespect?
Get lost.
It's not nice to talk to your mother like that. Why don't you do as you're told and go home and get washed?
She won't let me wash myself. And she washed me in the sink and all.
Come here, you.
Look out.
Oh, what was that for?
You got dressed this morning downstairs in front of the fire, didn't you?
How do you know?
The dog snuffed it. It's about time you were taken in hand.
Ah, well, now what have I done?
That's for calling your granny Kojak. Dr. Bum, just ask him why he didn't go to Sunday school.
Very well, why didn't you go to Sunday school?
I did. I went on Saturday, but it wasn't open.
Dr. Bum, he's got me heart broke.
I've got 15 A-levels, you know, at school.
15 A-levels?
Yeah, for going to the toilet.
Ow!
Ah, I'm sorry, son. I shouldn't have hit him, Dr. Bum.
No?
Now I come to think his granny does look like Kojak.
That's what I call a problem family, and frustration is the root cause. I used to be frustrated, you know. I was a peeping Tom. A policeman caught me on the window ledge of the nurse's home at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Good Lord.
He let me go. I told him I was a window cleaner on nights. My problem is I get embarrassed for no reason. Like last week when I went to the gents' outfitters and the man took my inside leg measurements.
It was quite normal.
For a scarf. And there's my twin sisters. One's 18, the other one's 32.
Twins?
14 years my mother was in that labour ward. We worked it out the other night that we took her in over 4.5 tons of grapes.
Are you trying to be funny?
With little success, as always. And how about the problem family you've been trying to sort out, Dr. Bum?
Oh, tried everything I know to straighten them out. I've tried to give them a greater appreciation of the finer things in life.
How do you mean?
Last week, I took the entire family to see an exhibition of modern art. Never again. It was a nightmare. This way, Mrs. Turpin. Now, I want you and your two sons to have a look at this exquisite modern piece of sculpture. It's called Woman in Torment.
Precious, Bunty, Dr. Bum wants you to have a look at Women in Torment.
There. Now, what do you think? Isn't she absolutely superb?
Dr. Bum, is she supposed to be a woman?
Yes. Oh, magnificent piece of work.
Dr. Bum, she hasn't got any.
Hasn't got any?
Things.
Things?
I don't want me lads to hear.
Hey, man. Come round here, she's got one on the back of her neck.
Do you have to shout?
I found another one. It's under her left arm.
No wonder she's in torment.
She's got another one under her right ear.
Oh, Bob, she's got the mumps.
No, she hasn't got mumps. It's a modern work by one of the greatest Polish artists.
Do Polish women have three, then, Dr.
Bob? No, they... they don't have three. It's a work of art.
It'd be a work of art trying to put a bra on her.
If she invited you back to her place, you'd need a book of instructions.
She's like one of those women in Doctor Who.
Please, everyone's staring at us.
Where's her nose?
I'll have a look.
What's he doing with that lighter?
I found the nose.
Well, where is it?
Can we go home now?
I think we'd better move on. Now, you're sure to like this work. Man 2000.
Hey, don't look, whatever you do, Mayor.
Hey, he's got four.
He'll never get his hat on.
He's going to have a bit of trouble getting his socks on and all.
Hey, fancy having that in our living room?
No.
If your granny saw it, she'd say, who loves your baby?
Please, please, the artist believes that in the year 2000, man will need four eyes to enable him to fully appreciate the world as it will be then.
If he goes out with the woman in Sawmans, he'll need them.
Mrs. Turpin, I am prepared to suffer all sorts of indignities to try and further your artistic appreciation, but would you please speak to your son?
Precious, don't do that.
I've only had on it.
Oh, I can't take any more.
Dr. Boone, we can stick the nose back on.
They may well repair the damage to the statue, but nothing can be done to repair the irreparable damage done to British comedy by Eddie Braben.
David Casey.
You see, I believe that in this life, the infinite moment in the universe of time wants you to do all one can to try and create a sort of...
You'll get lost, you nutter.
Yes, I think I will as well. And quick,
Bill Pertwee.
I've done some rubbish in my time.
Eli Woods.
How'd you become a nun?
Alison Steadman. The producer was James Casey, who first thing tomorrow is having all his teeth out, whether he likes it or not.
Have I got time to do my song now?
No.